everyone. It's April and Tony again this week. We're going to talk to Veronica. We're going to get some questions answered. And, of course, we're going to do a very quick little pep update. Everybody is good. It's the first time in about 6 months that everybody is good. So I've started to, I have those six kittens that I've had them almost 8 years now. The oldest one, his name is Charcoal. Charcoal is like a dark, dark gray, solid dark gray. He was the firstborn of the kittens. And you would think being firstborn, that would make him the alpha cat. But over time, I've noticed that he's not an alpha cat. He's very shy. It took me about 8 years now to get him to even let me touch him. I mean, he's been a scaredy cat his whole life. And when I had a, you know, I'm doing stuff with animals and stuff, sometimes he gets overlooked because he's so quiet. He hides, he sneaks in to eat when the others aren't there. So I started a campaign to get him acclimated into the family more. I give him special treats. I call him over to me, or I just go pick him up and bring him when I'm watching TV and stuff and sit him on my lap. Now, the first couple of times I did that, it didn't go well because he was scared. He didn't want to know what my intentions were. And I said, look, I just want you to be able to be part of the family, like come sit with us instead of hiding over there under a chair. So every day I would corral him into the office and take all the other animals out and let him eat by himself in the office. I started corralling him in there and doing that. And while he was eating, I would sit on the floor and first I extended my hand for a couple of days just so my hand was there in his space. It took about 2 months, but finally he let me put my hand on his back. Now I had another month where if I moved the hand, there was a problem, but I had to get him acclimated to human touch. I had to get him so he wasn't afraid. And the other cats kind of sensed that fear in him, and then they would pick on him. So I told him, I said, you can't be a fraidy cat. You've got to stand up for yourself and do what you need to do. And so I've been doing this, and some days it was a total disaster. He walked away from me like, you know, get away from me, lady. I never want to talk to you again. But yesterday, I was up early. It was up around 5:30, and a lot of the animals were still sleeping. And I'm in the kitchen and I'm making coffee, and out of nowhere, Charcoal jumps up on the counter. I was shocked. I was like, well, good morning to you too. And I extended my hand out and just held it there. He came and rubbed his neck like he wanted me to scratch his neck. And I just kept the hand there. I didn't move it. And then I slowly withdrew it. First time in 8 years, this guy let me touch him with affection. I mean, I picked him up before, but it was usually a struggle and, you know, it got scratched a bit when I was doing that. But this was the first time he sought me out. And so I have some of these little chicken treat things. And after I withdrew my hand, I put just a few of those on the counter. And he looked at me and he started eating them and he started to purr. Another first. So this is my progress with Charcoal. It's taken 8 years. And a lot of times I admit that I wasn't on my game because I was taking care of other animals that were sick or whatever. And I think there's hope here. So I'm just telling you guys all this because a lot of times we're so fast paced in our lives that we don't take the time to realize that slow and considerate and loving touch is something that you need to establish with an animal. And you've got to be as patient as can be. It's taken me a good 6 months to get him to come touch my hand. And he did it to me this time. So I was I'm ecstatically happy. So I'm going to continue, and I'll tell you guys about it every week, but I'm going to continue. Hopefully tomorrow morning he does the same thing again because I gave him a fresh piece of chicken when he did it to really emphasize, hey, this is a special thing and this is a special piece of chicken. We'll see what happens. And I'll let you guys know what the progress is every week. But he's a beautiful, loving cat. just scared to death for some reason. And it's so odd, being the firstborn, I thought for sure he'd be the alpha. He's actually bigger than everybody else too, being the alpha. So, but mental issues are making him feel like he's not wanted or scared. So I am making it my business in the next couple of months to acclimate him into the family so that he can be a more fully engaged participant, because he deserves it. He deserves the love. He deserves to know that he has a place in the house, and a good place, not, you know, not last in line every time. So, Tony, how's it over there in Maine?
Well, everyone's doing good, knock on wood, and the weather is much too hot. I can't wait till fall. I know you go silent. I know.
Well, when anytime there's talk of weather, I have to make sure I curb my enthusiasm.
Yes, you do. Oh, boy. You sure do.
But I'm glad. Is it humid? Is it humid?
We've got humidity, but it's not as bad as like Florida.
Okay.
It's not as
or Michigan. Bad. Michigan has. I grew up in Michigan, and it has 100% humidity potential every year.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Well. Yeah. I'm waiting for fall now.
Yeah, we don't have a real fall out here. I mean, some of the leaves go off and everything, but the seasons here are not well defined. I mean, you know it's winter because it's raining a little bit more, and it doesn't rain at all in the summer. So the weather here has always been a little interesting to me, because it's not your typical demarcation. Like, okay, now we're in winter. Okay, now we're in spring. That doesn't happen that way. There's blurred lines in the weather in California, especially Southern California. Because I remember on Christmas Day sometime, it was 90 degrees one year on Christmas Day.
Oh, God.
So the weather can be odd out here. And you get those Santa Ana winds coming up in the winter time, and it'll blow hot air up in December and January. And out of nowhere, it could be like 60 degrees, which is cool for us. And
yeah.
All of a sudden, the next day, it's 90 degrees because of the Santa Ana winds that come in. And those always come up very warmly. And that's why it's, scary, because the fires can start. And we're all got PTSD out here about fires. We hear a helicopter. We hear someone say fire. Everybody jumps up and goes, okay, what do we got to do here? Because we got to be ready at all times to get out of Dodge. I mean, because they come, they knock on your door, and they go, get out now. So and I've got animals everywhere. So I have one room where I just keep all the carriers and everything out and ready to go, especially during fire season. Because I remember about 7-8 years ago, we had a fire up here. And at that time, the kittens were all little teeny tiny. They were just born. And it started to, we had a fire happening. And they come to the door and they said, you have 5 minutes. I was like Speedy Gonzalez, speeding around the house, throwing animals into crates. I got everybody out in 6 minutes. I was very proud of myself. But I had things set up. And if you have to have set things up while you're doing it, that 1 minute sometimes is too much time.
Yeah.
And getting everybody out. And that's why I had to get like a bigger back of an SUV. I had to get a bigger model. Because I've got to fit all these crates in the back of my car. So I was driving a Versa Note, a Nissan Versa Note for a while, and it just wasn't big enough. So I got a Nissan Rogue, and the back end of it is big enough. It will accommodate, and I've done practice runs, accommodate all the things that got to be in there, get out. And then maybe I'll have room to sit in the front seat. We'll see. So anyway. Maybe, but Pete, we all have PTSD out here about fire. You say the word fire and you have people jumping up.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, that's pretty scary. And the last
and we had all of that, the Pacific Palisades just doesn't exist anymore.
I know.
I mean, it's gone. And so it can happen. And they're not really even in a bad fire zone there. It's a little bit more metropolitan. but something occurred where it just poofed, and it was the right combination of energy, and it was gone. I had many friends who lost their homes, and quickly and abruptly. Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So anyways, I'm going to go get Veronica, and keep going here.
All right. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the show today. And got some great questions for you and answers from Veronica. And I encourage you to write in to innerwhispersradio.com. And that's INNER, whispersradio.com. Are you there, Veronica?
Yes, we are. Good day to you.
Good day to you. Our first question is coming from Myma, or Mamie, M-Y-M-A. So if you're listening, this is you. Do our relatives, friends, grandparents who have passed hear us when we talk to them?
Absolutely. You have to remember that you are energetically connected, especially to parents, grandparents, relatives. There's an energy signature that you share. That is how they can talk to you from there, because it is two distinct different places. Linear is very thick and dense, and the eternal space is not. When you talk to them, it's not like you're talking into the eternal space. You are talking and focusing on them energetically, so that your energy can connect with their energy signature, and it makes for a much clearer connection. And they're not in a linear reality like you are, but they are able to hear and connect with you through that energetic connection that you have with them. So they're always hearing you. Sometimes it's very difficult for them to talk back, because it's so thick and dense in physical reality that it's like them walking into a brick wall and trying to talk through it. So it makes it a little difficult for them, but it certainly is something that they can hear you. And they'll maybe try to give you some signs that they've heard you. So always know that when you're talking to them, they do indeed hear you, but not like it's in the next room, but through the energy connection that you have with them.
Our next question is coming from Pam. When we die, do we have the option of following the light, crossing over, or can our soul remain here on Earth?
Well, the soul would have a difficult time participating all the time in a dense, thick, linear reality. Once you leave the body, you really want to be in that high frequency energetic place. And it's not always walking into the light. There are different ways to get to the other side. But the soul does not want to remain on Earth. It can visit Earth, but the soul really wants to be in its pristine environment, which is the eternal, because the energy frequency is a much better match. It's difficult for a soul to stay on the planet, and they really don't want to. Now, there are some who find themselves in a difficult pickle. They lose their way a little bit. They don't follow their instincts, and it's difficult for them to cross over. And a lot of times they'll get stuck a little bit in linear reality. But there are many soul retrievers on the planet that can help them detach and move on from there. But don't worry, when you get there, you don't want to remain on Earth. You want to move into the other space, because the fact that you can come back and visit makes it all that more special. And you really, as a soul, need to be in the eternal if you no longer have a body.
Okay, our next question. Janice would like to know, are there aspects in the afterlife that are not so wonderful?
Everything in the eternal is beautifully, vibratorily conducive to the soul. Everything in the eternal is wonderful. The negativity has a very hard time even getting a notice there. So it's always a good experience when you cross over. There's nothing fearful about it. It's warm and fuzzy and loving, more so than anything. And there is a complete absence of judgment. There's a ton of judgment on physical reality. But when you get to the other side, there isn't. There is acknowledgement that maybe you were participating in something that wasn't the best fit for you, but there would be offers of help. There would be offers of comfort. There would be offers of connecting it to such a high frequency that the beauty of it just makes it so beautiful. So yes, it is wonderful in the eternal. Nothing negative there at all.
Okay, our next question, Bernie would like to know, what is it everybody does when they get to the other side? We all go off and do what?
Well, you are equating your participation in the eternal to a linear one. In linear, thick, dense reality, you are always moving about, you're making choices, you're doing things, and you're not, you know, not maybe contemplating the eternal as much as you should. I mean, you're always very busy in linear reality. When you get to the other side, you don't get there and go back to school. You don't, you know, do things that are very linear at all. You don't go off and do anything. You are now a vibratory entity, and you participate through energetic means. There is no linear action because you don't have a body anymore. You are complete, pure, beautiful energy. And you exist in that vibration. You have a lot of thoughts. You have a lot of participation. You connect with others, and you know who they are. Even if their body isn't there, you know who they are. So you spend a lot of time energetically connecting, but you don't go off and do things. That's for the linear reality.
Okay. Well, Veronica, that was our last question. And if you want to take a break and come back and give the message to the world, that would be great.
All right.
Okay. Well, everyone, it's a good show. And, you know, I always encourage you, if you want more information on a topic, feel free to write in to innerwhisperersradio.com, and we'll try to get your question on the air. Are you there, Veronica?
Yes, we are. So, here we are again. Another week, another day, another moment of being in linear reality. It's important for all of you to, first of all, appreciate being in linear reality. And we know there'll be some who jump up and down and say, well, I hate it here. I don't like it here. We would suggest to those that when you do cross over again, maybe suggest that you would like to go to a different place rather than Earth. That is possible. So decide today that you're going to start seeking out only positive things. And if a negative thing comes up and smacks you in the face, don't let it deter you from being yourself and connecting to your soulful energy while in physical reality. Don't let that happen. A lot of times negativity will come in the form of somebody tossing some negativity at you. Sometimes there's an event that happens that ripples all this negative energy out into the atmosphere. You have to start deciding that you're not going to allow that energy to come towards you and increase your own vibration to protect you from the negativity that comes. You're not going to be able to stop negativity from forming in linear reality, but you can decide that you're not going to let it affect you and back up from it. And if you really are incarnate on Earth and you're finding it difficult and unfulfilling, you can certainly have the conversation of what would be fulfilling and what would be the correct energy when you get back into eternal reality. We think that knowing that there is a choice can give you comfort from right now to say, okay, well, the next time I'm not doing this. There is other dimensional spaces, there's other planets, there's other universes, thousands of different opportunities. So decide today that you're going to stay in the positive mode as much as you can. and decide that if it isn't a good fit, not to despair or give up, but decide, well, I'm going to make it through this. And then when I get there, I'm going to make some changes for my next foray. And it might not be on Earth. That's okay. Doesn't need to be. But Earth is very thick, very dense, and offers a lot of opportunity for evolution. But there are other places that do as well. So decide today that you're going to be positive. You're not going to hang on to anything negative in the linear reality. But let it go and bring all the positive energy towards you. Because when you do get to the other side, you'll acclimate immediately. You'll feel the wonder immediately. And that's an important thing to do.
That was beautiful, Veronica. And I want to thank everyone for listening to the show today. And we'll be back with you next week with more questions. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.